1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 27. 1 Samuel 9 verse 27. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, "Bid the servant pass on before us," and he passed on. "But stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." I've always liked Samuel. Here's something about him which is very human, and something which is simple about him and easy to follow. Now, he had a ministry given him by God, and it said that God said none of his words should fall to the ground, and all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel was a prophet. There was no doubt about it. Now, here he's meeting with a very tall young man. Samuel is old, and the people have treated him very badly. He feels very hurt by what they've done. Samuel has ruled well over them and thrown back the Philistines. Now, the Philistines at that time were a great trouble. They got iron before the nations round them. They came, we think, from Crete, that's what the Bible says, a Minoan people, and they tried to enter Egypt in a huge battle. The Egyptians threw them back again in an enormous fight outside their wall, which they had built in the north of Egypt. And so they settled on the coast there, and they took their wives and children around with them in carts, while the men under the lords of the Philistines, we found these things are perfectly correct and fit the Bible, went to war. And they found the easy place to go to war was against the south of Israel. And it was there in Ramah that Samuel reigned. The Philistines had destroyed Shiloh, and so Ramah seems to have been the place where they had sacrifice and everything else at the time. Now, when he met this young man, Samuel felt rejected by the people as an old man, and they wanted a king. Samuel took it to the Lord, as he always did, and the Lord said they were to listen, he was to listen to the people. And this day, he met this young man. Now, he'd met just before, because what had happened is, on Saul's father's farm, the asses had escaped, the donkeys, and there were the she-donkeys there. They were obviously important to the farm, but in that time when there were dry walls and very, very easily knocked down, it wasn't difficult for animals to escape, and these ones were thoroughly lost. So Saul's father, Kish, said to the young man, "Take a servant and go and look for the asses." Now, he apparently set off without anything except some bread to eat. Such was the hospitality of the time. You didn't need to take much. You just took what you stood up in, and you went round, and people put you up for the night. Now, as he went looking for these asses, he toured a great area. Have you ever thought that God brought Samuel and this young man together? Because after they got really tired of looking for these donkeys and couldn't find them, Saul began to fear that his father was more worried about him and the servant than he was about the donkeys. and he began to think of going home. But the servant knew something Saul didn't. And it's wonderful how God works through the smallest things. The servant knew about Samuel. Now Saul apparently had been absorbed in the work of farming, and he wasn't the sort of young man who went round looking for trouble. He just let the world go by, and he helped his father on the farm, and he apparently didn't know anything about Samuel. So this servant said to him, "There's a prophet called Samuel in this place. Let's go and ask him, because he can tell you where the donkeys are." So off they set to go to Samuel, but Saul said, "We haven't a present to give Samuel." And the young man, the servant, said, "Well, I've got a quarter of a shekel in my pocket, and we'll use that." So off they set to see Samuel. And they hurried down the road a bit, and it just happened that Samuel at that moment was going up in the town. And Saul said to him, "Can you tell us where Samuel is?" And Samuel said, "I am the prophet Samuel." So you see, God had brought them together. Now there they were, going together, and Samuel had been told by God the night before that this young man would come, and that he would be king of Israel. And Samuel was to anoint him, because Samuel was the last of the judges who ruled over Israel. Has God ever spoken to you and told you of something that would happen? God made you a king and a priest, and he made you a prophet because you belong to the Lord Jesus, who is the great and final prophet. Well now, we ought to know what's going to happen, and I'll tell you how we know. We know through the Bible. So as we read the Bible and absorb it, we begin to understand things other people don't, and to see into the future in a way they can't. And I've often found that by going to the Bible uncovers thoughts and things that other people have which you'd never find. So then, here they were together. And Samuel invited Saul to sacrifice the next day and to eat with him. And he ate with Samuel. Samuel put him out the special portion of food, much greater than the others had, and made him sit with himself, and marked him as the future king. Now Samuel didn't resent it. He had resented being put out, but it was wonderful how Samuel didn't resent this. He took it very quietly, and he was quite prepared to have Saul take over. Now, then Saul spent the night at Samuel's house. It was hot, so he went up on the roof and slept. I expect the house was very small, and there weren't real bedrooms for putting up guests. They all slept in one place. So Saul slept on the roof. And long before light, Samuel was up. Samuel was a man who prayed. And any man who prays will want to get up early and pray. Nobody I've known of who lingers in bed ever does much praying. By the time they've cut out the evening, and by the time they've cut out that time, and by the time they've got through the work, there's very little time left to pray. That is why people get up early. Now, right in the darkness, he spoke to him, and the young man got up. And he sent him on his way. The young man was called Saul. And as he sent him on his way, Samuel did what was polite there. He walked down the road with him to set him on his way. And when they got down to the bottom, Samuel spoke to Saul and he said, "I've got something to say to you. Send the servant away." So the servant went on. And when those two were alone, he spoke to him. Now, Saul wasn't a thoughtful young man, and I doubt if he'd ever been brought face to face with God's word before. And Samuel wanted Saul to listen. So he said to him, "Stand thou still a while, that I may show thee the word of God." Now, I want you to sit down quietly and put out of your mind all the busyness of the week. Put out of your mind all the worries you've got and sit down quietly and hear God's word. Because that is why God has brought us together. You know, a weaver went to hear Whitfield. And it's a true story in the 18th century. And the weaver said afterwards, "Every time I went to church," which he did occasionally, he said, "I used to work out how many looms would fit into the building, because looms take a lot of space." And he said, "That was always what I did when I was in church." But he said, "With Whitfield, I forgot completely about looms, and all I heard was Whitfield speaking." And that wasn't something unique with Whitfield, because there was another young man who was a shipbuilder, and he said that he went to hear Whitfield, and he said, "Always in the sermon, whenever I went to church, I used to build a ship. I used to build it from stem to stern in my mind while they preached. But," he said, "I never laid a plank with Whitfield. I just listened." Spurgeon said that he regularly got letters from people who said, "How did you know about me in that church that morning? How was it that you spoke direct to me?" He said, "I've had scores and scores of such letters." And he said, "I always reply to them, I know nothing about you. But God knew, and I am his servant. And he told me to speak those words. And I spoke them, and they were directed to you. So now listen to what God says to you." Now, Samuel spoke to Saul, and he told him some very pointed things. But before he did, he said, "Stand still a while." I think that many people are like the farmer who told my father that he did his accounts every week in church, but when he heard my father speak, he forgot all about the accounts and he was converted. And I believe many people are like that, that they're doing in their heads something utterly different to what their bodies are doing. But if they would stand still a while and listen, God has something to say. And that something is very important. You know, when God called Samuel, he said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And what is the use of God speaking unless we listen? There is no use at all in it. If hostility arises in our mind, or we sit just in judgment on the words, or we look around us and think about other people, we get nowhere. There is only one way God can speak, and that is if we stand still a while and listen. And that is the missing thing in life today. When I listened to that pageant they put on, I thought to myself, if only they would stand still and listen. They've missed out everything except the veriest trifle, which is truly Christian. They've missed out all the history of this world and of this country and the good it's done the world. And all they've done is got down to their own things, which they have heard at school, the rest of history being cut out. It's strange, isn't it? But men are as deaf as the deaf adder. And it says in the Bible that though the piper piped never so sweetly, the adder is never charmed. And that is as that's true about people. Well now, let the roar go. And just listen to what God says. Each week, speak, Lord, for thy stillness, for thy servant heareth. Now, the subject was prophecy about Samuel and Saul. And that was quite true. And so he told him three things that were about to happen to Saul. First of all, then a second, then a third. Now, it's very, very important that God's word uncovers our thoughts, our inward thoughts. Because every time the Lord Jesus speaks to a person, he shows a complete knowledge of what they're thinking, what they're doing, and where they're going. And any words that are direct from him will do that. So, what is the proof? Well, the proof that God speaks to a person is he raises their thoughts. So they are no longer satisfied with thinking about the things of this world, what they're going to do during the week, what they're going to buy or what they're going to sell, what they're going to think about and get done, all the jobs that are piled up waiting to be done, and all the way they'd like to get through their problems. But they lay aside the business of life. And that is very, very important that we do it. Now, what he said to this young man was this: you will be totally changed. That's what he's meaning. Something is going to happen to you. You're going to be made from virtually a farmhand into the king of this nation. And to do that, a transformation will come over you. So he said, first you'll meet three people. One's, they're taking a present up to Shiloh. One is a kid and three loaves and bottles of wine. A bottle of wine was a huge great skin of it. It wasn't a thing you could carry lots of. And he said, when you meet them, it'll be told you what to do. And they gave him one of the loaves of bread. And then he went on and he met a company of the prophets. And he ended up prophesying with them. And the people were amazed at the change that had come over Saul. And they said, is Saul also among the prophets? They meant that this young man, who never seemed to have anything spiritual about him, had suddenly started prophesying. And the first mark that God speaks to a man is that his mouth is opened and he can prophesy. I don't mean by prophesying there that he can look into the future like old Moore's almanac. That you can forget. But what he can do is by looking into the Word of God, understand what is happening and what will happen. What he can do is by talking to the Lord Jesus Christ daily and by being what we call on wavelength with him, understand God's plans. Now, God had a great plan. And this was not really part of it. He was just using the complete free will of these men to do what he had before said will be done. They were going their own sweet way. Each of them, except Samuel, was thinking his own thoughts and doing his own thing. But God was overruling it. Now, God showed Samuel and Saul that the asses were found. Get that out of your mind. They found the asses and they're no longer needed. But what you've got to think about is what God has in mind for you. And what God has done is brought into your life certain coincidences, which the world calls chance, which have brought you together with Christian people who could speak to you out of God's word and explain things. And that is the beginning of the road. But the next thing I note about this is this. This young man had immense promise, but he failed. He was a great disappointment. Or he defeated the Philistines, he avenged the men of Jabesh Gilead, he did many things, but in the end he went wrong. And God had to take his neighbor, who was better than himself, David, and put him in. Now, why did God put in a man like that to replace a good man like Samuel? Well, the answer was, God works by normal means. When Samuel was old, he couldn't go on, and in fact he died in Saul's lifetime. And Samuel was behind Saul. And while Saul listened to Samuel, he did well. The moment he stopped listening, he did very badly. And he made a complete mess of it. And in the end, on Mount Gilboa, he and his sons were killed. That was after the night before, when he had his last interview with Samuel in the witch's cave in Endor. And she conjured up the spirit of Samuel. And Saul saw Samuel. He said, "What have you seen?" to the woman. And she said, "I see an old man in a cloak." And Saul said, "It's Samuel." And then Samuel told him plainly to his face, "Tomorrow you'll die because you disobeyed the word of the Lord. And tomorrow you're going to your death." And Saul, who'd not eaten all day and had travelled far to get there, had to be persuaded to eat to have enough strength to go back. Yet God's word can deal very hard if we disobey it. But if we obey it, like David did, then there is a great future. This is a wonderful, wonderful thing that happened between Samuel that morning and Saul. It established what was the greatest blessing Israel had, David. And it put in the man who opened the door to David, and the man who took Israel through those years of extreme difficulty with the Philistines. Now, I believe that God still speaks today, and he speaks direct. We don't have to go through prophets. He can speak to your heart, and he can tell you. But let me warn you, that nothing God says is ever against the Bible. Nothing God says is ever against His own word. Nothing God says is ever against what His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, taught us. Whatever people say, the Lord Jesus Christ is the touchstone of anything you ever believe or hear. And anything you do or hear or believe apart from that will simply get you into trouble. There is the way ahead. Now, that's what happened because he listened. But I would rather have the voice inside me, the voice of the Holy Spirit, continually explaining the way. This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand or to the left, because that way is safer than depending on some man somewhere. It isn't safe to depend on men. You will find David, although he had a prophet, Nathan, never listened to Nathan like Saul did to Samuel. Saul was an unspiritual man at best. David was a spiritually minded man. And you know what it says? To be spiritually minded is life and health. And there it is. Ask God to make you spiritually minded. Ask God to open your ears to hear. Ask Him to make you so that you have, like Samuel, a listening ear that continually listens to that voice which speaks from within. There is where we stand still. Make sure you stand still today and ask God to speak. Amen.